I wanted to take this opportunity to thank the heads and the administrators of the various women's programs who cooperated and in most cases actually gave up on classes this afternoon in order to allow you to come here out of a recognition of this unique Yom Iyun and of the importance of learning and hearing about Rav Soloveitchik and hearing from these prominent Rosh Yeshiva. Thank you. The Rav was instrumental in the development of Jewish education in Stern College and the Jewish community at large. Rav Lichtenstein, when approached regarding today's program, expressed an interest in delivering today's shiur because of a similar commitment to quality women's Torah studies. It is the nature of Rosh Yeshiva and Gedolim to have many Talmidim, and yet there are those individuals who stand out as the Talmidim Muvhakim, who later become outstanding Rosh Yeshiva and Gedolim in their own right. It is my zchus to introduce Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rosh Kol El Grus of Yeshiva University, and Rosh Yeshivat Har Etzion, who will deliver today's shiur entitled Agudot Agudot, Unity, Diversity, and Factionalism. Rav Lichtenstein.
What I'll be discussing today is not directly related to the Torah of the Rav Zichron Livrache. I won't be repeating things that I heard from him or elaborating points raised by him. But the overall approach is certainly that which I think breathes his spirit. And I say that in a dual sense, partly because the general direction which I'm going to pursue, particularly the latter part of what I have to say, is very much a reflection attitudinally of what characterized his own perception of this topic, and secondly because whatever ability I may have to deal with problems, to deal with texts, do more than anyone else to him, and in that respect, the approach, in that sense too, somewhat related to him. The topic to which I want to address myself is one which, in one respect, is halacha, and we'll deal with texts with basic makaris in halacha. On the other hand, it's a general topic which relates at one level to public policy and another level to questions of hashkofe, attitude and outlook. I've titled my talk this afternoon as Agudot Agudot, Unity, Diversity and Factionalism. And the phrase Agudot Agudot is one which, as we'll shortly see, occurs in the Gemara and thence in various poskim. The subtitle is one which, in our own minds, of course, has broad associations as being, on the one hand, a permanent issue, and the other, a very, very topical issue. You hear a great deal today in Eretz Yisrael, in the diaspora, particularly in America, about the issues of unity and diversity, what's called religious pluralism, a whole spectrum, a whole range of issues which have to do with this general motif. The popular, the common associations of these terms within the sphere of present public discourse, I will not be dealing with, however, this afternoon. Today, when people talk about religious pluralism, they talk about what they like to describe, I don't like the term too much, but denominationalism, and relationships between the Orthodox and the non-Orthodox, and the conservative reform communities. Those are, of course, very important issues, both practically, as you know, with reference to the debate that's been raging here for the last half year or so around these issues, and quite apart from the practical ramifications, of course, a level of ashkofe. How does one view? How does one relate? Emotionally, perceptually, quite apart from the practical implementation. I repeat, these are important, perhaps even critical issues, but today I deal with what might be described as an intra-halachic discourse, or rather, dealing with the issue with reference to our own broadly defined community, which has, of course, various groupings, various wings, quote-unquote denominations, if you will, sometimes along ethnic grounds and sometimes along ideological grounds. But Ishal Machaneh, Ishal Diglo, Naru Naru Fashte, all within the broad ambience of what we'd assume to be our camp, largely defined. What I want to discuss today really has to do much more with how we deal with this question, and not even marginally and tangentially, but how we deal with the other issues, which I mentioned before, are today very much in the public limelight. The phrase, Agudot Agudot, is drawn from a Gemara Yevamis, which deals with the pasuk. Lo titgodedu v'tasukachom enechem lemeit. Well, first it's prefaced with an additional kechem, etc. And simply stated, or literally understood, and this is of course the primary halachic application as well, lo titgodedu means you shouldn't cut yourself. Apparently there's a habit which Rambam says, particularly the Avodah Zarah had at the time, that they would lacerate themselves as a sign of mourning. So the pasuk says that you shouldn't lacerate yourself either generally or particularly over a mess or as part of some kind of idolatrous ritual. That's a shuta shel mikra and the primary sense of the halacha as well. In addition, however, Gemara Yevamis darshins that there's another halacha as well. And I take as my point of departure that Gemara, which I've chosen in part because it has some reference to these days proper, namely to halachas concerning Purim. Being in Yerushalayim and its environs, so you are partly accustomed to the fact that unlike what you knew in the States, where Purim is a Yudalad Adar, and the Megillah is always read then. So being here, you know that there is a Purim of Prozos and of Mukafi, the ordinary Purim of Yudalad, and the Purim of Tesvav, for those towns that have been walled since the time of Yeshua Binun. In addition to that, however, the first Mishnah in Megillah specifies that sometimes Megillah could be read anywhere, starting from Yud Aleph, and not only from Yud Aleph and Tesvav. And this is for those who lived in outlying communities, which were small, so maybe they had a problem with the minyan, and perhaps they didn't have someone who was a Baal Keirah. So they were given license to read the Megillah prior to Yud Aleph and Tesvav, what in language of the Gemara is called Yom HaKnisa, the day of entry, the days which normally they would go to the big city, market days. And they would read from Yud Aleph and on, and there's machlekes amongst the Rishonim and the Sugis themselves, this is not absolutely clear, as to whether they would read back home and someone would come perhaps from the larger city, from the Krach to the Kfar, the Ir to the Kfar, to read for them there, or whether they would, having gone to market, they would hear the Megillah in the big city for their own local group. So the Mishnah in Megillah describes that this is what would have happened. This is what would happen. Tanan Hatam, learned Mishneh Megillah. Megillah nikreit v'chad asar, v'shneim asar, v'shlosha asar, v'arba asar, v'chamisha asar. Lo pachot v'lo yoter. The Megillah would cover that range. That Aleph Yud Bet Yud Gimel would be for the Bnei Akfarim under their circumstances. And Yudal and Tesvav would be either in Prozos, what Chazal is called Ir, or in Mukofim, which Chazal referred to as Krach, Yudal and Tesvav. That's mentioned in the Mishnah Megillah as a fact, and then the Gemara Megillah as a discussion as to why this was done and exactly what the mechanics of this were to be. But in the Gemara Yivam, Mr. Gimel Amud Beis, there the Gemara quotes a question which is raised by Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, which is parallel in discussion in the Yerushalmi as well. Amr Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, Ikri Kan, why don't you apply here, Lo Titgo Dedu, Lo Tasu, or quote another reading, Lo Teasu, Agudot Agudot. And we should interpret the term Lo Titgo Dedu not just by way of cutting, cutting down, but sense of breaking down into a number of groups and taking the titgodeid, the language in the term of gdud, and a gdud is something which is not cut, but the contrary comes together. So you should not be in aguda, you should form a group and unit unto yourselves, but that there should be some kind of overall uniformity. So the Gemara then goes on to discuss as to whether indeed the term lotit godudu can be understood in that vein, and it assumes that indeed it can. There are two senses of the term tit godudu, one laceration or cutting down, the other this kind of forming cells or units rather than the total communal approach. And this is the basis of the Isser of Agudot Agudot, which we generally refer to as Lo Titgo Dedu. Obviously, this could have major applications and ramifications. Strangely enough, Shulchan Aruch, it hardly appears. First of all, this kind of thing could have appeared in many contexts, with regard to tefillah, with regard to all kinds of minhagim. It appears in Shulchan Aruch strikingly well into the Erech Chaim, and with regard to what is really a very tangential meaning. This is the meaning, the minhagim of Sfiras HaOmer, and of course, as we well know, the two minhagim, 1 minute renege the Isur Mechavelos, whatever these may be, from Pesach straight to Lag BaOmer, and then not to be no further avelos. Others who start Rosh Chodesh Iyar, take a break only on Lag BaOmer itself, and then run until Shlosh Yemei Hagbolah. The Rama, in Siman Tov Tzad Gimel Hilchos Pesach, quotes these minhagim, and then he goes on. He says, "V'lo yinagu b'ir achat miktzat minhag ze or miktzat minhag ze, mishum lo titgo dedu." Shouldn't have some people this way and some people that way, which in our practice, of course, is really what happens. Almost any town that you walk into, there's some like this and some like that. Sometimes the same family people have diverse minhagim. And that, Amos says, you oughtn't do. And it's here that you have first full-blown discussion in Shulchan Aruch, not so much in the Mechaber and the Ramah, but in the Magen Avraham, and a fair lengthy comment that he has there with regard to this issue. And the discussion in the Magen Avraham and Zen in Paskim generally, of course, revolves on the Gemara Yevamis, and now let's look at some of the details of that Gemara. Having raised the issue, the Rabbi Yochanan then retorts, Rabbi Yochanan then retorts, why are you asking me about Megillah? Don't you know that there are places in which indeed a variety of minhagim obtained, and that was considered perfectly legitimate. Amar Adkan Ushanita, מקום שנהגו לעשות מלאכה בערבי פסחים עד חצות עושים, מקום שנהגו שלא לעשות אין עושים. But the one should be engaged in Malach and go to work in Erev Pesach. So from Chatzos and on, there's an Issa, whether Medrais, Medrabanon, there's an Issa. But prior to Chatzos, the first half of the day, so there the Mishnah says that depending on what the local custom is, apparently you see that it's possible to have different customs, and we are not troubled by this fissure, as it were, in communal and national unity. So, the answer which is given is, well, you can't quote that as a precedent. Amar lo, amin lo, chano isure, dov rav shman ba'abam rabi yoich, lo kaybeti ba'purim eilek, bizmanehem, zmanim ha'betitu lechachamim, vat amot li min hogim. I'm dealing with an issue concerning which is an element of Issa, not just what is the minig. But if you don't act in accordance with what is prescribed, you're either an Issa, or b'di'evad, you miss a mitzvah. So if someone lives in Yerushalayim, he's not Yosef, he reads the Megillah and Yudalit. He lives in Tel Aviv, he's not Yosef, he reads the Antesvav. And if he lives in some small town, today, Bizman Azov, we don't have this Takon of Kfarim, but if at that time he would have lived in Motza, so, if he would have read, or at context, if he lived in Motza, he would be Yitz, whatever he would have read, but if he would live in Yerushalayim, would have read in Dalaf Yud Beis and Gimel, he would not be Yitz. So I'm dealing with an issue which concerns with the Eved, whether Yitz or not, and you're telling me a Mine Mechateis. That is less critical, so we're not so concerned if there is diversity. And the Gemara goes on to say, well, but that too, the question of Malach and Erev Pesach, also is possibly a question of Issa. So the Gemara rescinds that distinction. That is, it doesn't rescind the distinction in principle. Maybe the distinction is correct, but it is not applicable to differentiating between Malach and Erev Pesach and the reading of the Megillah, because both can be viewed as having an element of Issa. It may be that there really is a distinction. The things which relate to Minig, and we'll deal with this later on, which relate to Minig, there is no illicit going to do, and those which relate to Issum, there is. But that doesn't answer this particular kashi. How does one answer it? There's the fact that, can you prove from Malach Erev Pesach that there's no Issa or illicit going to do? Someone says, no, you can't, because maybe there's no loss of schedule over there, because people who see that a person isn't working do not necessarily think, well, you know, he's noyeg not to do Malach and Erev Pesach. Maybe he's stam lazy, stam wants a day's vacation. So that doesn't pose a problem. Okay, so we've cleared the deck, so we don't have a problem with regard to the halacha of Erev, Malach Erev Pesach. But that still leaves the basic issue of Kriyas HaMegillah at various times. So here we have in the Gemara two qualifications, Machlois and Abaye and Rava. Amar Abaye. It says, with regard to this issue and also with regard to another issue, the Gemara raises, but Machlois and Bisham Basil generally. So Bisham, of course, was the minority. They disagreed with this field nonetheless. Was there a challenge in the Bais Medrash, or was it in the street? Did they disagree with Bais Hillel l'halacha, but in practice, they accepted the decision of Rachab l'hatois? Lo yasu b'shamei k'divreye, or do we say no? Bishamai, in practice, also disagree with Bais Hillel. And here again, the question of Losis Godudu conceivably comes up. So, by way of relating to the issue of Bisham Bais Hillel, and presumably with regard to Megillah as well, although that we'll see later on, so what is Amar Rabbi? Ki amrin lo titgodudu, gon shnei botei dinim b'ir achat. Halalu morim ki divrei Beit Shammai, והללו מורים כדברי בית הלל. אבל שתי בתי דינים בשתי עיירות, let not about. The whole problem is going to do is if you have a sort of internal machlekes within the same community, so you have the Belz will do this and the Gera do that, that's a problem of place is going to do. But if you have two separate communities, each with its own traditions, with its own authority, with its own mode of interpreting and applying halacha, that doesn't pose a problem. When there's no loss is going to do on a grand national or even tribal scale within each shevet, it's only within the same community. Now, Abaye presents this by way of explaining how was it that Bishama Bisil, according to Mandomas, and also Bishama Kedivrayim, that in practice they also acted differently from Bisil, how that could have been. Now, that of course invites Rava's retort, if you say that there is lo siskei to do. And your answer is presumably that in two different communities there's no lo siskei to do. That would only be a viable answer if we assume the Bishan Mabesilil were the equivalent of two different communities. So if Bishan Mabesilil were in Haifa, Besilil were in Yerushalayim, so each one in its own venue could pass as it saw fit. But is that indeed the case? Amalei Rove, for Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, ki shtei batei dinim b'irachatav, domi. They were not separate communities, they were part of the same community, each one with his own shtibel, his own besmedrish. So if the distinction the Rabbi raises is decisive, that is not going to solve the problem of Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. So Rove suggests another criterion. Elo marov, ki amrin lo titgo dudu, ki gon beit din b'ir achat, plag morin ki divrei beit shamai, uflag morin ki divrei beit hilei. Or shtei batei dinin b'ir achat, let lan ba. If you have two separate batei din, even in the same city, that's no problem. And that takes care of Bishan Mabesil. However, if you were to have a single best, single authoritative entity, and its members, the Dayonim, can't arrive at a resolution, they let everything hang, and each one passes as he sees fit. So one holds this way, one holds that way, and you get contradictory psakim, and therefore contradictory anhogis, issuing from the same center of authority. That is not authority. This is not a group which can paskin, and this is the problem of Losi Skated. Okay. This is according to Tirove. The Gemara doesn't explain what is the basis of the Machlokes of Abaye and Rove. So why one has one criteria, one has another criteria. And a priori, two possible approaches might be entertained. One, to assume that at the level of general principle, how the Issel is fundamentally understood, there's no Machlokes of Abaye and Rove. But what you have is a question of, at a more technical level, of defining how narrowly do you draw the line, or draw the circle, I might say. At which point do you say that, you know, this is a splinter, this in effect means that you have no center whatsoever, it's no longer a business, half this way, half that way. It's a debating society. But a business is supposed to decide. That's the pask. At which point do you say that? So, this might be a priori is open to possibly different definitions. you might have a broader and a narrower conception. It's about that that they disagree. However, it may also be that the machlokes between Abaye and Rove relates to the critical fundamental issue of how we understand this Issel in the first place. The Netziv has a tshuva in Meshuv Dovos, Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Zayin, and there he suggests that, I thought of this independently, was glad to find it there, and he suggests that in effect, the machlokes between Beshamayim and between Abaye and Rove is a sort of fundamental one. What is the issue? The question is, what is the source and effect, or what is the heart of the problem of Lois Iskeldu? What's wrong with Lois Iskeldu? Why is it problematic? When I say why, I'm not talking in philosophic terms, or in halachic terms. What is the problem in halachic sense? What is it that the Torah didn't dislike over here? Let me introduce the issue by reference to another question. Here we're dealing with the scope of Lois Iskeidudu with reference to the community, how we define the community, or what kind of, what is defined as a splinter, what is not a splintering. One could also raise a question, though, with regard to the scope, in terms of what kind of issues, what kind of problems, halachic problems, can become the focus of Lois Iskeidudu. With regard to Lois Iskeidudu, we have in general a machlokes amongst achronim, and some want to discuss this in the context of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, as to whether this issur of Lois Iskeidudu is midraisa midrabbana. In the Gemara, it's not absolutely clear. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, Lois Iskeidudu Memhei, seems to suggest that the main issur is simply self-laceration, which I spoke previously, and this is peripheral. But in the Rambam, that could mean one of two things. It could mean that there are different gradations of the deraisa issur, which happens in the Rambam in many contexts, or the one is deraisa, one is drabana. But at any rate, we have amongst the achronim different views. The prevalent view is that Lois Iskeidudu is a deraisa problem. Now, the question comes up, supposing that what they're fighting about, or maybe fighting is too strong a term, what they fail to arrive at a consensus about is not a deraisa halacha, but a derabanan halacha. The issue comes up with regard to problem sarif becholof, cooking a chicken in milk. Some issue comes up on which they disagree. So if there were a question of beef and milk, of yasam deraisa, chicken and milk, we pass it on yasam derabanan. And they have some argument about this with regard to whether frying it constitutes cooking or whatever it may be. And they then go their respective ways. And each of them has his own way of paskening, or each of them has his own shchita, if it's a problem in the rabbanon of shchita. Shchita is only mit rabbanon, so they argue about some detail of shchita seifis. Are the oivir only is going to do mit rabbanon? Because the whole issue is a derabanan. So at a deraisa level, it's a non-issue. So at a deraisa level, it's as if they were arguing, well, these are Yankee fans or Giant fans. I mean, it's a total irrelevancy. It's not a halachic issue. So it's only a halachic issue mit derabanan. So therefore, the Israel to disagree and to become factionalized with regard to this particular matter, since the matter is only mit derabanan, the issue is only derabanan. The Issel is only drabbanan. Why do I say no? What the Torah demanded was that with regard to our Avedus Hashem, we should have a certain measure of uniformity. There should be decisiveness in Pesach on the part of Besdin, and there should be uniformity in practice on the part of the of Yechidim. or the Balabati. And the Rabbanans were also part of Avedis Hashem. So paradoxically, when they're arguing about a Rabbanan issue, and each of them refused to concede the point, which even if he conceded, he'd only be in trouble at the Rabbanan level, but this stubborn refusal to concede gets both of them involved in a deraisa. They're all over Leisus Gedid. Which, if one assumes, of course, are major ramifications of a settling machloikis. The son of the Michas Chinuch, who raised this issue, and after him, other achrenim, he says this should depend on how one understands the iser of Losis Goditu. Rashi says that if they read the Megillah on different dates, so what's the problem? V'damye lishtei torot. Looks as if you have not one Torah but two. Chassidish Torah, Misnagdish Torah, Sfarish Torah, Shnazish Torah. So it's some are impacting and undermining Torah as a corpus, as a codex, the chefs of Torah, the unity of Torah, that is being undermined. This is what Rashi says. The Rambam, who strikingly paskins like Kabaye, which is contrary to the general principle of Machleis Abayim V'Rove, we paskin like Rove. So Ram Perk Aleph Perk Yud Beis. I'm sorry. Avichas Avedis Kichavim. He says Uvichlal Azhara Zo. Shlo Yu Shnei Botei Dinim Beir Achat. This is again a biased formulation. Zeno Heki Minhag Ze. Zeno Heki Minhag Acher. Shedavar Ze Goreim. גורם למחלוקות גדולות שנאמר לא תתקודדו, לא תעשו אגודות אגודות. Where the Rambam formulates it, we're not concerned about what happens to Torah. Concerned what happens to the community. Will Torah be viewed in monochromatic terms as having only one message or two? The Benshir will be able to abide if we'll have the impression of two as well. Because we'll understand it's not two Torahs, it's simply two different readings of the same Torah. So that's not a problem. But the question is not what's going to happen to the Torah, what's going to happen to the community. It'll be torn apart by controversy, riven by machloikis, and that simply cannot be sustained. So the Chas Chinuch son says, if we ask what's going to happen when the Gat Yisurim Drabanan, the answer is very simple. If Rabbi Rashi is concerned about two Torahs, at a deraisa level, this is not Torah. So the most you only be over, like it's going to do, at a Drabanan level. But if we are concerned, as the Rambam is about Machlaikis, the machlekes can only be with regard to deraisa matters. Can't there be a big machlekes with regard to the rabbanons, with regard to minhagim, with regard to all kinds of other things? So if that's the concern, that breaking down the community and fracturing it into smaller cells and units, agudas, agudas, that it's going to arouse machlekes, then of course, even a rabbanon issue can also be a source of such machlekes. Now, coming back to Abaye and Rove, the Netziv makes a similar point with regard to their machlekes. Says that according to Abaye, if I'm concerned about two Torahs. That concern is not only within the same person. We have two batei dinim. Also, each of them has a different message. And the message, broadly speaking, is within the same ambience, within the same community. It's not one is here and one is way out there. So the problem of shtei Torahs applies. If, however, we're concerned about machlekes, then quite conceivably, machlekes is only if it's within the same basin. If you have two different batei dinim, one here, one there, then this element of clashing, going toward his war head to head, doesn't apply. Consequently, there's no iser of loisis skated. So what we have so far is, first of all, the iser itself. I mentioned just in passing, without getting involved in that detail, questions of whether it was midrash or midrabanan. Question to what it applies, and in the Gemara we have reference to examples of Kriyas Hamgila, to Melacha and Erev Pesach, and later on the overall problem of Hashem and Bisil, and the qualifications which you have in the Gemara of Abayin Rava respectively, that if it's different communities, everyone agrees there's no less is going to do. In the same community, two different batei dinim, Abaye thinks that there is a problem less is going to do, and Rabbi says, no, according to Rabbi, it's within the same best. And that could be viewed as being a question simply of how, in what proximity they need to be, in order to say it's agudis, agudis. Whereby we could assume that according to Abaye says, according to Rabbi, two different batei dinim is that two different cities. So that doesn't perturb us at all. Or to say no, that the issue of Abayin Rove is with regard to the very heart of the halacha of what it's going to do. What is the source of the Issa? Is it a problem of two Torahs? In which case, even different batei din, and perhaps if we wanted to go much further, we might go beyond that. Say if it's a problem of two Torahs, even if they're different cities as well. But that no one says. But at least within the same city, within the same overall communal context, even different batei din also pose a problem of two Torahs. If it's a problem of machlokes, then it's only if there's a direct confrontation within the same forum. And this may have ramifications as well, the question as to what the base of the Issa is, as to whether if a group, a community, is over, if is engaged in machlokes with regard to Issa Drabanon, would there be less is going to do midereise or less is going to do midrabanon? One could, I think, sharpen the issue of whether it's shtei teres or because of the machlokes. And this was reference to Machlokes Rabbi in Rove. When we deal with any term in halacha, a definition of a mitzvah or an isel, we very often find ourselves confronted by two levels at which we deal with the question. One, which may be a matter of detail. In other words, you'll say, well, that this is a, we're doing the ma'aseh which is tera asel, but it didn't asel it for such an object, it only asked for another object. It only asked it in such circumstances, in other circumstances, and at such a time, by such a person, etc. Even though the act which the tera denominated is actually being done. Sometimes we'll cut much more sharply and say that simply is not part of the definition of the isel. Just by way of example, I mentioned before about Basar B'Cholof. Now we have two kinds of heterim, you might say. But the gata basal cholo midah, which are muto midiraisa and also midrabanan. But the gap between the raisa and the rabanan is very different in both cases. I said before, psarif becholov, if you deal with poultry, that we pass is only also midrabanan. Midiraisa is muto. Take another area, which is muto midiraisa, is also midrabanan. Supposing I were to take a piece of meat and I won't cook it in milk, but I will soak it in milk and I'll leave it there for 24 hours. So it's soaked with that. But I haven't cooked it. In both cases, midrash is mutar midrabanan, it's also. But of course, these are very different concepts. With regard to b'sarif b'cholov, so there, in terms of the ma'isa, I did the ma'isa which is teras, so there is bishul. But bishul isn't also with regard to oif, according to the way we pass, it's only also with regard to gdi or animals. In the second case, that's not bishul at all. So I haven't done anything at a teraisa level. B'drabanon, there's an extension, expansion of what it's also to do. And this, of course, comes up in halacha all the time, and it's not a question of halacha, this is simply a purely logical distinction. But what the Lois is going to do, if we ask ourselves, what's the heter of different communities as opposed to the same community? There, presumably, there is a skirdidus. There is a certain sectarian element that you have two adjacent towns, one paskins one way, one paskins the other way. But I say that the iser of Lois Skirdidus doesn't apply because the sense of multiplicity, the impression which is conveyed that there is total efkelus, that doesn't, you don't have. So it's not that people are not engaging in sectarianism. They are. There is factionalism. But this kind of factionalism, the Torah didn't ask. And then, there could be another definition of Lois Skirdidus, where I might say that under these circumstances, that's not defined as Skirdidus at all. And let me apply this with regard to Abaye and Rove. I spoke before of two formulations, but actually we can speak not of two, but of three. As I spoke of two possible reasons as to why the Torah asked. The Torah asked, assuming that it's a Nisa Dereise, Bipnei HaMachlokes, according to the Rambam, or because it shouldn't, V'dami L'shtei Torot, as Rashi has. But we can differentiate not only with regard to the why, but with regard to the what. If it's a problem of two Torahs, then what the Torah asked is simply the fact that you have different communities moving in different directions, paskening in accordance with different points of view. That's the issue. And the reason for it is because of the implicit message, either the image that is created or the reality that is created, that there are two Torahs. There isn't a single overarching tradition. When we deal with the theme of Machlokes, so we can say in terms of what was Ne'asah, the same thing that was Ne'asah according to the view of Shtei Torahs. Simply setting up different shtiblach, each one with its own meirah haroah and its own mode of paskening. That is the problem. That is the issue. Why? The Torah didn't want you to do that, so here I give a different explanation. But what it didn't want you to do is the same as according to the other day. But I might say no. That if I focus upon machlokes as opposed to shtei torot, it's not just that the why is different, the what is different. What the Torah says, not necessarily setting up different shtiblach. One of the shtiblach vachateisa, but the terasa was the fighting, the confrontation, the challenge. That's the east. Now, if that's the case, and then we have, as I said, a third view, one view being that the terasa is simply the sectarianism because of two Torot, that asad sectarianism because it might lead to machlokes, or that it asad machlokes proper. Then it may very well be, and following through, and then it sees explanation of the Gemara, that the heter which we have according to Abaye and the heter according to Rove is a different heter. According to Rove, if you can have two batei din be'ir achas, it's because as long as it's not within the ambience of a single bezin, they're not doing anything. There's no reason. Torah doesn't care if you have different batei din, if you have different modes of psak, if these do this way, these do that way, mechateisen. Why must you have uniformity? Let there be 100 flowers, let them all bloom. If, as a result of this kind of pluralism, they begin to fight, it's the fighting to the teras. So Mele Rav has said, it's two batei din, even if they're in irachas, and the impression of the reality which is created. circumstances, the Torah qualified the Issa. But that, of course, already had a very different level. I've spoken of two motifs with regard to the Issa of Lo Yisrael Yedu, either two reasons or two definitions substantially of what is that was Nasa. Methodologically, whenever we confront two possible ways of understanding a certain Issa or a certain mitzvah, or for that matter a certain kinyan, a halachic phenomenon, we often have to ask ourselves, at least ask the question. Maybe the answer will come to a dead end, but at least ask the question. Maybe both are right. Maybe there are two tracks here, each with its own specifications, but both concepts actually are correct. And this may very well be the case with regard to what we're discussing here. There may be a track of machlekes, another track, even when there is the machlekes of shtei torot, each, as I say, with its own specifications. And let me present this schematic to you very briefly. Spoke before of whether there's a l'siskeinu de midereise with regard to l'issa de rabbana. Some have gone beyond that and have asked not about l'issa de rabbana, what about minhagim? Not even l'issa de rabbana, but a minik. Now, minhagim themselves, of course, have a different order. Some of them are just a pure minik, which is not grounded in an issa. And some minhagim are related to an issa. But without getting involved in that, let's just assume we're talking about a minik as such. Is there a problem like this going to do with regard to a minig? The Gemara seems to say that no. Because when the Gemara, in discussion of Yechon and Rish Lakish, the question came up about Megillah being like this going to do, multiple readings, and Rabbi Yechon answered, why are you so surprised? Don't you know that there's pluralism and a multiplicity of minhagim, e.g., look what happens at Erev Pesach, to which Rish Lakish rejoined and says, Erev Pesach, that's only a meaning. I'm talking about a question with the Zisurim, but the Eved, people are not B'yaitse, how can you permit multiplicity over there? So don't quote to me the business about Erev Pesach. That's Rish Lakish's challenge. The implication is that if I had to have a scale as to when it's more likely or less likely to have a problem of Lysis going to do, anything which has to do with Isurim, there Lo Yisrael is much more problematic than if we are dealing with Minhagim. That's the clear implication. The Rambam, when he quotes the halacha of Lo Yisrael to do, seems to fasten dafke upon Minhagim. Shleyu shnei batei dinim bir achat ze nohei ki minhag ze. And some have assumed that according to the Rambam, the contrary, it's dafke with regard to minik. If you talk about halacha, so each one has to interpret halacha as he understands. And how can you expect someone who's reading of the basic mekayres and whose logical analysis leads them to the conclusion that it's either asra, muta, chayev, pata, toya, tome? How can you expect him to bend his will just because you're interested in having some kind of sweetness and light harmony? So there is no, according to some, lois is going to do with regard to minhagim, to isurim. But it got to minhagim. These are things you decided on your own, that you want to institute certain things. Here we tell you, don't institute that particular minhag, this particular chumrah, because there's a price. And the price may be divisiveness, factionalism, and the game is not worth the candle. That's what some assume according to the Rambam. But let us say we don't go this far. And we say, well, there is Lo Yisrael with regard to Minhagim. And there is Lo Yisrael with regard to Yisurim. But that maybe it's not quite the same Reisi Skaidit. The Gemara has its point of departure, the case of Megillah. Let's ask ourselves a simple question. When they got to the Megillah, the Bnei Akforim and the Bnei Ayores, or those who read Yudalot B'Tesvav, let's say Yudalot B'Tesvav, there's a separate question. What perturbed the Gemara? Bnei Akforim is Yudalot B'Tesvav, or Yudalot B'Tesvav? So let's say Yudalot B'Tesvav. So the ones who are Mukofim and the ones who are Prozes, they fight about this. They argue about it. This is a bone of contention. It's a source of controversy. Of course not. Everyone understands. You live in a Mukofim, you do this way. You live in a Prozes, you do this way. And that's the way they deal with the issue. There's no fight about it. There is difference, but there's no confrontation. There's no machlokes. There's diversity, but there's no challenge. So apparently, the Gemara, when it raised this issue, the issue of Reis Yisgeidu, Reish Lakish, who raised it with regard to Megillah, he apparently thought in terms of Shtei Torah. That was the issue. And that's what's on the table in the sugya. Not the issue of machlekes. Now the Gemara comes along and says, oh, forget the Gemara, let's ask ourselves. I mentioned before the Michas Chinuch son's discussion with the God Yisurim Drabanon, are you ever scared in the Deraisa? So let's move beyond the Isurim Drabon. What about Minhagim? As I said before, if the problem is one of confrontation and divisiveness, so you can fight over Minig, you can fight over Drabon as much as over Derais. So presumably, if we're concerned about Machlekes, Minig might also be problematic, the Leisis Gedi with regard to Minhagim. The other day, if the problem is one of Shtei Torot, then the less a particular element, a particular hanhogi, is part of Torah, the less likely that it's going to be the subject of Leis Yisgeididu. Because Shtei Torot means you are rewriting Torah, but if the minhogi are at most peripheral to Torah, so the fact that you have this meaning and I have this meaning, we're not rewriting Torah because the whole thing is not part of Torah in the narrow, the basic sense of the term altogether. So very simply, if we ask, what about Minhagim? Is there not a problem Leis Yisgeididu? So my answer would be, if you're concerned about Machlokes, there is. If you're concerned about Shtei Torot, possibly not. But now let's look at the other side of the coin. Under what circumstances, not with regard to which subject matter, what kind of halachic issues, but with regard to what goes on in the community, when is the Leis Yisgeidu and when not? So as I indicated previously, there might be circumstances such as Shnei Plagim and one Bezdin, half of which passed by Sham, half passed by Sil. And then you have machlokes. You could have another situation in which there is indeed Leis Yisgeididu. I mean, there's difference, but no machlokes. As with regard to the Megillah, Yudalot and Tesvav. Now, putting these two points together schematically, we arrive very neatly at a two-track conception of Leis Yisgeididu. Namely, with regard to areas which are not minhagi, Torah proper, by the Midraise, Midrabana, but let's say for the moment Deraise. There, since we concern a Shtei Torot, even if they're not fighting, and when they got them healed, they weren't fighting. But the Gemara clearly thought, at least initially, the Shlokish thought, that there's Leis Yisgeididu. Because the difference per se, even if it's all done in the spirit of harmony and goodwill, And that's why he raised the issue of Megillah. So with regard to basic issues, or the part of the substrate, the basic fabric of halacha, there's less he's going to do, even if they're not fighting. But with regard to minhagim, if they're fighting, then there's less he's going to do of machloikis. If they're not fighting, then with regard to minhagim, there is no less he's going to do. Because of manush, if I'm dealing with it in terms of the two Torah, you're tearing Torah asunder, you're not doing that here, because the minhagim are not part of the fabric of Torah. They're on the periphery, they're tangential. Are you talking about machlokes? But now we're talking about a case where there's no machlokes. So where these two can join, namely, that there is no ktota, no machlokes, and the subject matter is minek, then there will be lolos iskated to. If you have fighting as in one bezdin, even if what they're fighting about is a minig, but meanwhile they're fighting about Avedis Hashem. Minig is also Avedis Hashem. So you have lois iskated to do because of the machlokes. If you're dealing with issues which are fundamentally basic halachic issues, then even if they're not fighting, there's the lois iskated to do because of Shtei Torot. So we have, as I said, two tiers, two tracks, if you will, each with its own specifications. The Machloikas track, which is broader in scope with regard to the subject matter, but narrower in scope with regard to the activity. What constitutes being mitgodeid, fighting, altercations, vehement arguments, etc. With regard to the track of Shtei Torot, there, the subject matter, over what the mitzvah go to do, that is more narrowly defined. But in terms of what constitutes being mitgodeid, this is more liberally, more generally defined, even if they're not fighting, as long as they are diverging, and as long as they've instituted different minhagim. Hence, the Gemara speaks of Lois is going to do not through the Machloikas track, because the Gemara there says with regard to Megillah, they weren't fighting about Megillah, they weren't fighting with regard to Melachah of Pesach, they just were different. So here the Gemara says, you're dealing with this track, the question of Shtei Torot, here Minig is less problematic than Issa. The Rambam deals with the Machlokes track. That's what he's concerned about. Mele, according to the Rambam, Minhagim could be just as problematic as Isurim, be they Isurim deraisa or Isurim derabbana. Now, of course, at the level of implementation, halacha lemaisa, I'm not going to paskin for you now, this is a very complex and thorny area. And of course, as you well know, we are accustomed to a great deal of diversity. We're accustomed to different minogim, different schreis and tefillah, different kinds of shchita, all kinds of differences. And in order to deal with these issues at a practical level, one would have to define and qualify many specific points. What is the equivalent today of one bezdin and two batedinim? Two adjacent shtiblach. How does one regard those? What about those who are now diverging in their psak? But not because they're challenging each other, but because they've inherited different traditions. These are Nusach Sfad, these are Nusach Ashkenaz. What happens there? To what extent is there probably scared to do if you deal with an individual as opposed to a community, or only if you deal with whole groups? There are many variables here, and at the level of implementation, one would have to analyze all of those. For those who are interested, there's a sefer which appeared a couple of years ago entitled Tal Imrati, which is a rather full discussion of these issues. But I want to leave that aside and say something briefly about some of the implications at the attitudinal plane, apart from the narrowly defined halachic plane. To sum up the briefly the halachic element, as we saw, we have the pasuk of Losis Godudu, which Chazal interpreted Lo Tesu Et Asu Agudot Agudot, which might be Midrash, might be Midrabanan, that is qualified in the sugya, that applies appeared in the sugya, at least initially according to Resh Lakish, even where it's not a question of confrontation or fighting, but simply the difference as such. We then have a question of Abaye and Rove with regard to the circumstances in which it applies, according to Abaye, only if, even if they're separate, but they did in the same community. According to Rove, only if it's the same bezin, which is split down the middle. Discussed also as to what the possible reason might be for the Isur. This are two levels. Either the reason, with reason machloikus, or the reason damyul shtei torot, sharpen that, and that could be machlois tabayin rov according to the Netziv. I sharpen that to say it's not a question of the why, but a question of the what. That the issa could be the fighting which accompanies the difference, or the issa could be simply the difference per se. And that according to rov, the issa might be the machloikus proper, therefore shtei batei dinim don't trouble him. According to Abaye, it might be the difference as such, but difference within the same locale. These are simply two different arenas, then that doesn't perturb us at all. Then we looked beyond that, and I mentioned the difference between whether Mechlekes or Shtei Torot, possibly Nafkimina with regard to the scope. Whether, if they disagree with regard to the Rabbanon, are they over the Sizgurim Midereise or over the Rabbanon? And then we look beyond that, the question of minig. It seems that minig is less problematic with regard to Leisus Gedu than Isurim. The Rambam, if we assume that he's referring to minig, seems to include minig as well, and some would say even dafke minig, because in areas of halacha, each bezin has to act in accordance with its own understanding and interpretation. So in that respect, the Rambam would be against the Gemara, so I said that no, that we can think in terms of two tracks, that which is focused upon machlokes, and where there is machlokes, what they're arguing about is not material. As long as they're arguing about some element of Avodas Hashem, that is the source of the problem. And that's what the Rambam is talking about, minig, which leads, or the difference which finds expression in machlokes. With regard to Shtei Torot, there we, even if there's no machlokes, there's a problem. But the problem has to be with regard to something which is inherently part of Torah, and therefore perhaps the minhagim are out, and perhaps with regard to Yisurim Drabbanon, one is only able to situate to Midrabbanon and not Midereis. The issue which I've raised here is one which, of course, has, as we saw, some very specific halachic expression. But to a great extent, there is an attitudinal element as well. Because this question of how do you respond, how do you relate to unity as opposed to diversity, or not just unity to uniformity as opposed to multiplicity, to a monistic as opposed to a pluralistic reality or model, is one which has to do not only with how we learn the sugyas in this respect, but with how we envision ideally the world of Avodas Hashem, and perhaps beyond that, how we envision the ideal polity, the ideal community, the ideal society. Here we find ourselves sometimes torn between conflicting impulses. part of us has great admiration for unity, for harmony, perhaps even for uniformity. And when we hear of someone challenging that, stepping out of line, even with regard to an individual, we find that problematic. Imagine you're watching a parade and suddenly someone begins to step out of line. Ruins the whole parade. Lachas kama v'chama, if you are dealing not with an individual, but with a group. So part of us, I say, admires this full-throated harmony in which all are singing the same tune, singing it together. No one has struck a false note. And the cumulative impact of the communal republic element reinforces the aspect of Avedas Hashem on a personal plane. And that is for us a grand ideal. And it's an ideal, perhaps at two levels. First, in that we might think in monistic terms with regard to halacha generally. We think there's one specific halacha, the right halacha, and we don't want that. Some people are doing the wrong thing. So somebody obviously is out of step. Somebody is not acting in accordance with Rassel ben Shloila. So that becomes problematic from one point of view. But quite apart from that, the cumulative impact, as I've said, of the public performance of a whole community acting in unison, that can be very enthralling, very engaging. So that's one kind of ideal attitude or instinctive response. On the other hand, some may find this kind of monochromatic, monolithic uniformity dull, boring, stifling. Where is individual initiative? Where is creativity? Where is spontaneity? Where is the opportunity for an individual or a group to find some mode of self-expression, to place its own imprint on its Avedas Hashem? After all, we're not all toy soldiers. We have a certain measure of b'chira chavshis, presumably there was some latitude in trying to engage the Ben Shloilam, to be over the Ben Shloilam, in a mode which to some extent is an expression of our innermost being. Whether it be our innermost being as interpreters of Dvar Hashem, the world of Halacha, or in some sense as initiators of a certain mode of Avedas Hashem, something marvelous, something engaging about that. And that too strikes a very deep chord in our being. And not only that, it's not only that we find ourselves responding to the challenge, to the opportunity to create, to place our own stamp, to each one with his own chelik, his particular aspect, his particular vision, his or her particular goals. But beyond that, there's a certain thrill, a certain excitement, something wondrous and marvelous in that very confrontation, in the marketplace of ideas, in the marketplace of expression, and a sense that to some extent it's precisely out of the opposition, not necessarily in Hegelian terms of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, but out of the meeting, which might seem, from a certain point of view, to be jarring, to be jangling, to be discordant. But from another point of view, it's that meeting which is part of molding in one sense individual, in another sense collectively, of Dvar Hashem. And that too strikes a very deep chord in us. Part of us is full of admiration. We read about Paradise Lost, about how all the angels, infinite angels, all singing the same thing, all dancing the same, Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. And part of us reads Miller Newman and that kind of intellectual Darwinism is enthralled by the confrontation, the clash of idea and idea, of thought and thought. And the sense, as both of them wrote, each from his own respectively secular and Catholic perspectives, of how truth is refined, is arrived at in the process of confrontation and discussion. And if we look to Chazal, to some extent, we seem to get something of this divergence as well. On the one hand, machlekes, well, that's a terrible thing. That's korach v'adato, that's machlekes. And someone who is sensitive, both at an interpersonal level and in terms of communal responsibility, runs to machlekes as from a fire. And Chazal speak of the fact that Zaloch Zakin Mamrei is in order that Shlo Yibu Machlokot v'Yisrael, and if there's a particular Dayan who challenges Bezdin and refuses to act in accordance with Sanhedrin, that he's punished. And even if Bezdin is willing to forego its covet, they want to be Michael, they can't do it. Shlo Yibu Machlokot v'Yisrael. And Chazal say that at one time there was no Machlokes, it was only Mishe Rabu Tamidei Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Shlo Shimshu Kol Tzorkan, somehow were not properly trained, that then all of a sudden you got machlekes. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, just listen to the cadences, if you will, of a Gemara in Chagige describing a Talmud confronting the world of Torah, confronting a Beis Medrash. I'm going to quote a pasuk, and I won't get involved in the drash. The Netuim, with regard to the term Netuim, which appears in the Pasuk in Keles, which we apply to God to Torah. So Torah, Chazal says, compared to Netia, to a plant. Man Netia zo para verava, it grows, extends itself. Artive Torah parin veravin, ba'alei asupot, elu tamidei chachamim shiyoshvin asupot, asupot, they sit groups, almost parallel to Agudot, Agudot. Shoshvin asupot, asupot, voskim betorah, halalu metamin, valalu metarin, halalu osrin, valalu matirin, halalu poslin, valalu machshirin. Shemo yomar adam, heach ani lamed Torah, me'ata. All this babble of confusion, all the disagreement, all the disharmony, all this discord. How will I ever arrive at truth? How will I know what Rabbi Shlomo wants? How will I understand Torah? How will I implement Torah? Talmud lomar, kulam nitnu mero echad. Kel echad nitanan, panas echad amaran, mipi adon kol ha-ma'asim baruchu dichtiv, v'adaber elokim et kol ha-dvarim eile. Ata, you want to know Torah? Aser az necho ka-afakeset. Let your ear be primed, וקנה לך לב מבין לשמוע את דברי מתאמין ואת דברי מתארין, את דברי מעשרים ואת דברי מתירין, את דברי פוסלים ואת דברי מכשירים. This is what he's taught. You read the Gemara and you see this is not a Gemara which speaks of Machlekes with a heavy heart, never. Look what's happened to us. These say this, these say that. What you have here and you see it in every word, sense of excitement, the pulsating, buoyant vibrancy of Torah, of a Beis Medrash alive, bubbling, different views being expressed, precisely the clash of truth and truth, of opinion and opinion. This is what comes through. How do we then respond? The one, as I've said, machlek is a terrible thing. We saw the Rambam before. I mentioned the Gemara Sanhedrin. On the other hand, this Gemara in Chagige and the Gemara Sanhedrin, which speaks with pride, not with reluctance. Just as men and women, each has his or her own visage, and the visages are not alike, so opinions are not alike. And this is not said with a heavy heart, it's with acceptance, with excitement. So, of course, we need to understand when we speak of machlekes, what are we talking about? The Rambam in the Tshuva was asked with regard to some question about a cherem which Shmuel get involved in, but he says in the course of the Tshuva, Avrasulahem, those who want to break off in the community, Asulahem inyan acher, Mishumlot itgo dedu, Mishumlot hasu agudot agudot, Elakach hayavim kol beit Yisrael nikraim b'shem Yaakov machzikim b'dat Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, להיות כל עדה וקהל מישראל אגודה אחת ולא תהיה מחלוקת ביניהם מחלוקת בשום דבר בעולם. They should diverge, they should disagree about nothing. Avraham, of course, knew full well that even within the same עדה and קהל, מחלוקת, that's a bread and butter. That's the stuff of which any besmedish is made. But of course, in using the term achloket, we need to have two different views. There is machlokes, which is a machloket of Korach va'adato, the undermining of authority, the internecine fighting, the kind of communal or national situation which Chazal tell us was the cause for the destruction of Bayis Sheni, the Sinas Chinam, the lack of any kind, not just of toleration, that you're willing to tolerate someone who's different, but genuine acceptance within the parameters of the world of Avodas Hashem. The absence of that, that's the machlokes, which is terrible, which is destructive. And we look, ideally then, for some kind of unity, even for some kind of uniformity, for a resolution of crisis and conflict. Machlokes, though, the level of difference, which is not conflict, which is accompanied by respect, and which up to a certain point is within a bes medrash, as part of the legitimate working out of the world of Torah, out of an acceptance of the fact that indeed a priori, not as a matter of historical accident, but a priori, a divinity of Elohim Chaim and Torah has given different interpretations and different understandings, and this is part of its greatness and its glory. And then knowing where to draw the line, where we take all of that difference, that wondrous world of challenge and confrontation, then know where to draw the proper balance in practice, whether individual or communal practice, and to find, on the one hand, the ability to appreciate difference and diversity as being a multiple reading of Torah, which in one sense is monistic, in another sense pluralistic. That is part of the challenge which confronts us with regard to Lois Iskeidetu. It has, as I've said, its halachic elements, and these I've sketched here only in brief detail. It's quite apart from the halachis, for which we have to define the terms and the categories, and to know under what circumstances there is or is not a problem. There is, and another, at a parallel level, the attitudinal issue. How do we relate? How do we respond? Are we looking just to impose exactly, by way of cloning, our particular model on others? Or is there, first of all, an understanding and a respect for altered interpretations within the parameters of Torah, not Chilul HaShem, but within those parameters, an appreciation of the difference in the diversity, and in practice, knowing where we need to conjoin, where we need to implement harmony, where we need to strive for that, even as we entertain appreciation and admiration for the diversity of halalu mitamin, halalu mitarin, halalu poislin, halalu machshirin, which resonates in the Gemara Chagiga. This is not always easy. It's much easier either to cave in entirely and simply monolithically toe a particular party line, or simply to engage in radical, at the time cutthroat, competition and divisiveness. But to understand fully the spirit of Chazal with an eye both to the aversion from Achleikus and Lissisgurdi on the one hand, and the appreciation of the throbbing and pulsating vitality of Torah as expressed in Machkiga on the other, if we want to do that, we have a more difficult route. More difficult in practice, more difficult in terms of our internal attitudinal response. But to be a Ben Torah, to be a Bas Torah, is not to choose the easy route. It is to choose the more challenging route, because ultimately, to be an Eved Hashem is to be challenged, and it's to know, properly speaking, how to respond. Time schedule. Yeah.
On behalf of all the participants, I want to thank Rav Lichtenstein for his thought-provoking and insightful shiur and presenting all of us with a true challenge, as he mentioned at the end, of Bnei and Bnot Torah. Just very quickly, I want to tell you that the shul here davens mincha at 5:15, so I ask everybody to please be out by 5:15. If you also want to daven mincha, then I suggest you daven it either in the back room or upstairs or wherever. That's number one. In the back, Rina and Nava have for each of the programs an envelope with the latest Horizon, which is very exciting and very timely. So I suggest that you pick them up. Again, I want to thank everybody here for their participation, and have a Shabbat Shalom.